The House State Affairs Committee, today is Tuesday, May 7th, 1991, at time is 4:15 p.m. We do have a quorum present with Representatives Moyer, Choquette, Bruckman, Baker, Grunberg, and Cabina. Today we'll be hearing confirmation hearings on Mr. Jack Anderson, Commissioner Designate for the Alaska Public Officers Commission, and confirmation hearing for Mr. James Hamilton, Commissioner Designate for the Human Rights Commission. At this time, I'd like to take up the Human Rights Commission, Mr. James Hamilton. Mr. Hamilton, can you hear me?
Yes, that's fine.
Sir, I'd like you, if you would, to describe your qualifications and what makes you particularly qualified to be a member of the Human Rights Commission. Do you feel that the Human Rights Commission serves a necessary function, and what goals and objectives would you like to accomplish on that commission? You may proceed.
Okay, qualifications. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, which I know in itself is not a qualification, but I grew up in a small village, Craig, down near Ketchikan. Many of you up here know where that's at. My father's side of the family is Haida Indian. My mother's side is Irish. I don't look Native at all, but I really I've lived in Alaska most of my life. I was out to college for 4 years in Washington State, and I was married and lived in Seattle for 5 years. I guess what qualifies me in my mind is what I feel is my fair-mindedness, my years and my heritage of being Native and living in a small community. I think that that helps give me a perspective on the unique issues that come up in, with the Natives in village life. I feel that I'm with a background in fishing, that I grew up fishing, and in a logging, and those areas, I feel I have some understanding and some awareness of the particular needs there. I have been in positions of, and am currently in a position of, having people work for me. I've been in supervisory positions, working in the airlines industry, hotel industry, and retail, grocery store industry. Have had to work in a situation where people worked under me, and I have in turn worked under other people, and I think that that is, in a sense, a qualification. Maybe hopefully understanding those dynamics of employee-employer from both sides. I don't know where else to go with my qualifications. I as far as a college degree, I don't have that. However, I really feel that that would be a qualification. I just feel that I'm a fair-minded individual. Commitment to the state. I have three children, and we are going to make our home in the state, and I really just want to see it, a good place to live, and that, that's a motivation for me. I guess at this point I'll break as far as my qualifications, and I don't know if you want to ask questions or if you want me to go on.
Well, you've done real good, Mr. Hamilton. I would like to note for the record that we also are joined by Representative Mackey. I know Representative Mackey is here probably to oppose your nomination, so I'll allow him to speak for a moment. Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to say hello to Jim. I don't know if I have to declare a conflict or what, but I should state right off the bat that I've known Jim all my life. We grew up together in Craig. he's been a lifelong friend of mine and of my family. I recommended him to the governor and asked the governor to appoint him to the commission, and feel somewhat responsible for him being before you here today. I appreciated the governor appointing Jim. I'm not recommending him, Mr. Chairman, because he's my friend. I recommended him because I felt that he was the one individual that I knew of that I felt comfortable in recommending to serve on a commission of this importance and of the sensitivity of the needs of human rights. I think that Jim would be extremely fair, and I think that he would look at both sides of any issue that he was confronted with. Jim does does have some minority blood. I mean, his family is Native, and I think that he has an understanding of minorities and Native issues, but I don't think that that limits the scope of any type of issue that might come before the commission. And I strongly urge this committee to confirm or to recommend confirmation of Jim. I don't, you know, have any burning reason why I should, you know, try to get somebody from my district on there. I think that you know, that Jim is very qualified in his role as a postmaster. I think he's been very professional. His family is very, very respected family in my community. And Jim, you know, obviously was valedictorian in his high school class and went on to college, and I think is one of the finer members of our community that have ever gone on out of the community into adult life. And I, for that reason, I think that he would be an outstanding choice to serve on the commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Obviously, you weren't here to oppose his nomination, then. So, Jim, do you have anything else you'd like to add for the committee before I open up for questions after that very eloquent endorsement?
Appreciate Jerry and his speaking on my behalf, and it was at his urging that I, you know, I put my resume in for a board of commission, and I don't have the experience on the state level. However, I don't see that as being a hindrance at all. I'm excited about the possibility here, and I've been reading up about the scope of the committee, and there again, you know, I have an awful lot to learn, but I'm excited about it, and I hope that I'll be able to serve.
Well, thank you, sir. Are there questions from the committee? Hearing no questions, Mr. Hamilton, we appreciate you being with us. We take our duty as reviewing people that we have to confirm in the legislature seriously. We have some paperwork here on you, and we've talked to some people you know, that have known you, and we will be passing around a sheet of paper here that each of the members on the committee will sign. That either will sign under do recommend or other recommendations, which could be no recommendation or do not recommend. Since there are no issues that have come before us, you could probably feel pretty comfortable on your confirmation by the legislature, though, unless something between now and then comes up. Representative Gruenberg.
I move we report the nomination out with individual recommendations.
There is a motion to move the report out with individual recommendations. Are there objections? Hearing no objections, Mr. Hamilton's confirmation hearing is concluded. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Appreciate you being with us and taking the time.
Thank you very much, sir. I look forward to serving.
Well, we look forward to having you do a good job for us all.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Mackey. All right. We're off teleconference. In fact, if you want to pull a plug and make some room for yourself, please. My guess. Next item on our agenda is confirmation hearings for Mr. Jack Anderson, Commissioner of Designate, Alaska Public Office Commissioner. Mr. Anderson, would you join us at the table, please? Mr. Anderson has been nominated by the governor to serve on the Alaska Public Office Commission. I believe this is a 5-year term. Mr. Anderson, would you like to make an opening statement, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the consideration of this committee. I'm a 51-year resident of Alaska, having arrived here in Juneau in 1939, and went on to Bethel and served on the river systems of Alaska, both the Kuskokwim and Yukon River, to 1947, when I married and started business in Anchorage, raised 4 children, and I'm proud of the heritage that I have and the privilege that I have to be here before this committee. in looking over the responsibilities that I have, I've made some personal notes here. The Alaska Public Office Commission, in my judgment, is probably the most visible and sensitive agency serving the Alaska voter. As the watchdog of campaign disclosure, conflict of interest, and regulation of the lobbyist, scrutiny of this commission is constant and intense by not only the elected, but by the voting citizens of Alaska. A failure of this agency to define and require compliance to the regulatory acts which the legislature has established could, in effect, change possible elections and possible findings of candidates, and it is essential that the law be enforced to the degree that it is written. It is incumbent upon an individual commission member to study and define and understand the law in order that he may work in close consonance with fellow commissioners in all agenda matters. I was a founder of Alaska Methodist University, the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce, Presbyterian Hospital, Navy League, and 22 individual community service organizations, and served as chairman and members of the board of directors of each of these organizations. And I currently serve as a member of the board of directors of Humana Hospital and a chairman of the governor's prayer breakfast committee. I run Sunlock Energy Systems of Alaska and Blake Publishing of Alaska, and I have received every honor that the state and the city can award to an individual citizen. I am one of the last living deck officers of the riverboat Nenana, soon to be designated a national historical monument where she rests in the museum park in Fairbanks. And I served as a deck officer on both of Alaska's major river systems, which gives me a background and an understanding of rural Alaska as well as urban Alaska, which I consider is necessary to serve as a member of the as a commissioner for the APOC organization. Governor Hickel asked me early if I would consider this nomination. I thought because of my age that I should decline, but my sense of public service prevailed, and I'm here as an ordinary citizen with a resolution and resolve to again donate my time and whatever talent I may possess, and join with my fellow commissioner to the enforcement and the regulation and whatever the requirements are of a commissioner in the association there too. I'm at the other end of my lifespan, and I have no interest in serving on this commission other than to the betterment of my fellow Alaskans. I respectfully ask you, Mr. Chairman, and the distinguished members of this committee, to look on my record of service to above self to my community, a lifetime of public service of which I am proud, and to make any inquiry of any nature on any subject, and then support the nomination of Governor Hickel for me to serve as a member of this committee. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Questions? Well, we'll have questions from the committee. Representative Breckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Anderson, have you filed APOC forms before as a candidate?
No, I have not been a candidate for the legislature. And when I was a candidate for the Anchorage City Council, I believe it was back in 1947, we did not have the APOC regulation as it's on the books today.
Okay. So you're really not, at this point, you're not familiar with the filings required of candidates?
I have the entire manuals and all of the laws, and I share offices with Mr. Boyko, and he reduced them to the language that I could understand, and I have them in complete detail.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll continue later, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Anderson, how long have you been a member of the Alaska Independent Party? And the reason I ask this is the law is quite clear on appointing people to the Alaska Public Offices Commission. It has to come from two members from each of the top two parties that won election in the last gubernatorial race. And of course, that kind of knocks out all the Republicans, and that means it had to be two independents, Alaska independents, and two Democrats. How long have you been a member of the Alaska Independent Party?
I joined the Alaska Independent Party on the at the same time as Governor Hicklin and Lieutenant Governor Coghill joined on that same evening.
So then that was after the primary and before the general election?
Yes, sir.
And I noticed that you said you have a relationship with Mr. Boyko. He is a business associate of yours?
No, Mr. Boyko's a longtime, 45-year friend.
And what position does he hold with Alaska Public Offices, or with the Alaska Independent Party?
I don't know.
Could you, maybe, let me go back a second. At what point did you say you joined the Alaska Independent Party?
Right at the time of the election of the governor.
Was it before the election or
no,
after the election?
No, sir. It was not before the election.
So it was after the general election?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You don't know what position Mr. Boyko has with the Alaska Independent Party?
No, I do not.
Okay. Do you know if you were nominated by the Alaska Independent Party for this position?
No, I don't. All I know is I got a letter from Governor Hickel asking me to serve.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Anderson, in our information here, and I think it would be helpful, I only ask this question out of courtesy, I think, more than anything else, but in the packet of information that's provided the members of the committee is a copy of an article dated March 9, 1988, relative to the assembly action on your appointment to Transportation Commission, and I thought out of courtesy that at least you should have the opportunity, because I think I'm probably the only one around this table that has any background. Maybe you'd like to go into that more than just the news report that's in front of us.
Well, the Mayor of Anchorage appointed me to become a member of the Transportation Commission for the City of Anchorage. The nomination list was placed before the assembly, and about, 10 minutes before the nomination was placed, Mr. Parnell, who is now a member of this legislature, circulated a very adverse memorandum to the members of the assembly, and based on that memorandum, the assembly declined to confirm me as member of the Transportation Commission. And if it's the pleasure of the committee to see the memorandum, Mr. Parnell, I don't have a problem showing that.
Do you have that with you, sir?
Yes, sir. The main problem with Mr. Parnell was that I did all my copying at Kinko's and not at his store, as the newspaper article will show. Thanks to the press, I got a copy of his memorandum.
I haven't seen this.
Record should note that Mr. Anderson has passed out to the committee a memorandum to the Anchorage Assembly from Mr. Pat, I take it this is Parnell?
Yes, sir.
Who was an assembly member at that time. Reference appointment to Jack Anderson to the Transportation Commission and why he would vote no and encourage others to do so.
The only purpose of my raising the issue is that there was information in our packet, and I thought out of courtesy to Mr. Anderson that it would be appropriate that at least he'd be allowed to share with the committee his side.
I thank you, Mr. Baker. The newspaper accounts there will serve to satisfy.
Are there further questions from the committee? Representative Greenberg.
Mr. Anderson, may I ask you, what is your middle name?
Miller.
Were you ever convicted of a crime?
No.
Is your middle name M.J.?
No, it's John M., and everyone in Alaska refers to me as Jack. And so I put the Jack in there.
Were you ever convicted of a violation of municipal ordinance for providing false information?
No. Nor was I ever charged, sir.
Do you know of any other John M.J. Anderson?
There are 14, I believe, in Anchorage, and then there are 4 Jack Andersons in Seward, 3 in Wasilla, and 2 in Palmer.
How many families?
I've got my name on the steamer Nana. I don't want any more in Fairbanks.
were you ever sued for failure to pay child support?
No. Chewed out a time or two by my wife.
Or sued for failure to pay a student loan?
No, sir.
Further questions from the committee?
I would like to say to Representative Gruenberg that I appreciate his asking those questions as much as I appreciate Larry Baker asking his, because when you become in a sensitive situation, as I propose to be involved in, this hurts better become. So I welcome any other inquiries or questions that members of the committee may have.
Let's see here, you signed John B. Coghill, alias Jack, I believe. It says voter registration chain of affiliation form. Is that your Jack Anderson, John Jack Anderson?
I don't know, Mr. Chairman.
When he changed his affiliation at the bottom of the registration application, you have this witness, you witnessed his changing affiliation to the Alaska Independent Party?
I did. I certainly don't recall it.
Well, we don't have the lieutenant governor down here to check his, see if he's had anybody else sign this sheet. So I just noted that he changed his party. It looks like on October, where you changed yours, it looks like in November. Have you ever been to an Alaska Independent Party meeting of any kind, Mr. Anderson? You haven't, I take it.
I don't. They had a meeting in Anchorage, but I don't know that it was an official meeting.
We have another gentleman that is asked to testify at the committee. Would you object to having an individual citizen testifying at this committee?
No, sir.
If you would mind taking a seat in the audience and listening, and then we'd call you back up afterwards. Thank you, Mr. Anderson.
Is he a member of the Independence Party?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Scammon?
Yes, sir.
Would you take the seat, please?
Yes, he is. Anderson? Yeah, he came in November 13th.
maybe we could set Mr. Anderson's papers off to the side there so they're not don't get mixed up with Mr. Scanlon.
I was going to pass them out before, but...
Yeah, actually, Larry, did you get this?
Yes, yeah, I
did. Thanks. Is this Mr. Anderson?
Look under his...
yeah.
Those are mine.
And I believe there's some more under his booklet there. Rex, would you check that?
Not sure.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Scanlon, would you... Scanlon, would you state your name, please, for your address and for the record, and also who you are representing?
Yes, sir. My name is Howard Scanlon, S-C-A-N-A-N. I live in Juneau. My residence is in Forest Edge Condos. My mailing address is Post Office Box 22046, Juneau 9902. I'm here actually as an individual citizen, and what I would like to state, I have absolutely no objection to Mr. Anderson. Never met the gentleman, know nothing at all about him. I'm here because of the process that's involved. I've written a letter, and if you might take a minute to read that, it explains it pretty well.
The letter you're referring to is dated today?
Yes, sir.
From you? If you might go on, Mr. Scanlon,
surely.
And just...
What we're talking about here is a real specific point of law. Alaska Statutes 1513.020 say the governor shall appoint two members of each of the two political parties, etc. The two appointees from each of these two parties shall be chosen from a list of four names to be submitted by the central committee of each party.
I have, before you go on any farther, Mr. Scanlon, I have a letter here to... Mr. Don Tanner of the Governor's Boards and Commissions, with a list of five names, asking they be nominated for the Alaska Public Offices Commission, signed by Mr. Edgar Paul Boyko, State Vice Chairman. And in the letter, he states that the Central Committee of the Alaska Independent Barley has duly nominated the following members of the 3rd Judicial District to be considered for appointment by the Governor to the Alaska Public Offices Commission. He lists five individuals' names. The letter is dated January 23rd, 1991.
This is a false and unlawful document, sir. There was not a meeting of the Central Committee. To the best of my knowledge, they have not had a meeting of the State Central Committee of the Alaska Independence Party for more than 2 years.
Are you affiliated with the Alaska Independent Party?
At the time this letter was written on January 23rd, I was a member of the State Central Committee of the Alaska Independence Party.
And who are the members of the State Central Committee of the Alaska Independent Party?
That's a very good question. Okay.
Well, who was at the time you were a member? If you were a member there...
Okay, the ones that I know of, if indeed there was a party existent at that time, were Joe Vogler, his wife... what's Joe's wife's name? Whatever. Mr. Frenchie DeRoche.
Doris.
Doris, right. Frenchie DeRoche, Jack Alleman. The two Schultzes here from Juneau, whose names are Linda and Larry, I believe. Mr. Virgil Norton. The governor and lieutenant governor would both be members as elected officials. At the back of this...
At this date, you're
saying?
At
that date, as of the 23rd of January.
And Mr. Boyko is not a member at this time?
That's a matter of conjecture. Mr. Vogler claims that he either appointed or elected Mr. Boyko as the vice chairman of the party. There are no provisions for that kind of election. What's at issue here is whether or not party bylaws have to be followed, whether the Democrats have to abide by their bylaws, the Republicans, the Green Party, or the Alaska Independence Party. What happened here is plain and simple. Joe Vogler decided to nominate these five people with Edgar Paul Boyko's advice or counsel. They did not have a meeting of the State Central Committee as required by law. They simply sent you a nomination. This is exactly what happened in the nomination of Walter Hickel and Jack Coghill on September 19th. Joe Vogler nominated those people, and the party did not. That's why I'm here. of this, you have a letter from Mr. Jack Allen, who is a party member, questioning where this nomination came from, who nominated, on what date there was a committee meeting, and there simply wasn't one. This is another situation where we've got a unilateral nomination and a single individual taking the responsibility to do something on behalf of a political party. There is no obligation on any part by anybody to question a document like this. There's nobody, I mean, these people turned in a document to you, and unless I was here to question it, you'd probably accept it as a legal nomination. That's what happened to the Lieutenant Governor's office on the 19th of September. They turned in nomination petitions, and the Lieutenant Governor and the Division of Elections was not required to check the legality or the validity of the nominations of the Governor and Lieutenant Governor.
Representative Shokat.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm asking the chair for a ruling as to whether or not it's in the merits of this committee to look at whether or not the nomination is legal.
It's a real good question.
Because my understanding is we're here to look at the nominee, Jack Anderson, and this is just way above and beyond my expertise in making a determination.
Well, Chairman, I hope you don't push me on that yet, and let's let a little committee discussion go forward. Representative Baker?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Scanlon.
Yes, sir.
Could you, I guess I have a two-part question. A, you have no particular problem with Mr. Anderson's nomination?
Absolutely not, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Representative Reckman, we'll get you another one of those. Representative Baker?
I guess a deeper issue is it seems to me that you're calling into question the whole process by which Governor Hickel was elected, and if in fact that election meets the bylaws as you've outlined them.
That matter is a subject of a Supreme Court case right now. Okay. This is another instance in a repetitive situation which simply documents that.
So, because it seemed to me that the basis of your testimony here today is that the whole gubernatorial issue is at the heart of this matter.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I just don't quite know where to proceed from here. Thank you.
You're welcome. Representative Breckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've noticed in the letter that you had us look at from your last meeting, it was signed by Bill Vogler, the state chairman, and Andrew Paul Boyko, state vice chair.
No, ma'am, it was signed by Mr. Boyko, not by Mr. Vogler.
Oh, I see. Okay. But it was not signed by the state central committee as provided for in law. That does concern me because the letterhead should have said the Alaska Independence Party State Central Committee, and it does not. It only gives the state chair's name. So I do see that I feel that there is a definite problem. That the party, the state central committee, has not done the nomination. What concerns me mostly is, though, if the seat is not filled, no matter what the court case is, and that's a separate issue in a sense, what happens to APOC? Can they function well with the chair, not being filled? And we look forward to asking that question later.
Some more? Are there any other questions of Mr. Scannon? Are there any other questions in Mr. Scanlon? Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, if I may make one point.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Anderson does not know the name of the party that he's been nominated by. You'll find that the tape in his testimony was that he was a nominee of the Alaska Independent Party. The name of the party is the Alaskan Independence Party. And most of the alleged current members don't even know what the name of the party is.
Well, that may be true, but a lot of us get confused whether we're Democrats or Republicans, too.
I would like to ask Mr. Anderson.
Please bring me that. other questions from the committee? I thank you, sir.
I'm not sure who to ask it to, but the governor shall appoint two members. Who's the other one?
Well, they're not up yet.
Oh, because of the cycle of the appointments? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have to share the frustrations Representative Baker has on this situation. I'm confused whether we're here to determine whether Mr. Anderson is a good person for the job or whether he should even be appointed by the governor. I surely am not prepared to discuss whether he's lawfully appointed or not.
Well, Representative Choquette, I can only say that, you know, here we are, most of us new to this business, getting something thrown at us that we're trying to sort through, and when we get as much information as we can, then we will try to make a recommendation to the full body, the full legislature, as a matter of fact, on whether to confirm or not confirm for whatever reasons they may be.
So you would consider then, Mr. Chairman, that this would be enough of a cloud that this could affect our decision as to whether to confirm him or not?
Well, I think that's for you to decide whether it's enough of a cloud on how you're going to vote. Representative Grunberg.
Could we recall Mr. Anderson?
Mr. Anderson, would you come back to the table, sir? Only in Alaska, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, yeah. That's the fun of living here.
Yes, sir. Representative Grunberg.
Mr. Anderson, may I have your date of birth, please?
I wish you wouldn't ask that after this last go-around. April Fool's Day, 1920. 4-1-20.
Thank you. That's a good question.
Are there other questions of Mr. Anderson?
No, but I might refer, Mr. Chairman, if I might, the members to the legal opinion in our packets. On the second page, I don't know if you have a chance to look at it, where it says the legislature may wish, let me start here. If the legislature rejects the APLC nominee, it makes clear that its rejection is not based on the nominee's qualifications, but on the governor's lack of compliance with the statutes, then the governor might bring a declaratory judgment action seeking to test the validity of that statute, and thus the issue could be resolved. In other words, take it to the courts. Is what our legal counsel basically says. He says it's clear that the statute requires that the recommendations come from the central committee, but acknowledges that there's a possible constitutional question whether it's constitutional to require the governor to appoint a member from the party's list. To clear things up for you.
That really clears things.
Mr. Chairman, if I
might,
you could take that, I would assume, on the other way. The legislature may wish to accept this nominee. I'll still leave the issue to the courts. I think you can see it either way. I just have to go on record, Mr. Chairman. There's too many issues here.
Are there other questions of Mr. Anderson? Representative Grunberg, are you done with Mr. Anderson? I would like to excuse him if you are. Representative Bruckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Anderson, since you've read, you've done a lot of reading on the APOC manuals, do you see any changes that you're going to suggest in the future? Do you support the intent of the APOC? And do you expect to continue working along those guidelines, or are you going to make an effort to make changes?
In fairness to your question, and I respect the question, but if I told you that I was going to be making changes, I think I would be totally and completely presumptive, not having served with, because I am not the APOC, I will be one member of five, and I have talked to Jane and the chairman in Fairbanks, and APOC has to be a joint consolidated effort. I would certainly hope that I could prevail with the five to ensure the fact that each of us would come to our own decision and then make that recommendation to the legislature, but not as an individual am I going to be lobbying for the legislature to make changes to keep my old buddy over there out of office.
Mm. Well, I might do that.
And if it's in order, Mr. Chairman, I would like to assure the committee and the legislature and anybody else in this room that I'm not going to go home brokenhearted and bent. I'm going to go home and chase granddaughters and have a great time. And if this is resolved, I'll be very honored and glad to serve, no matter how it's resolved, because Alaska is more important than one single individual. And so I don't want you to think that I'm leaving this room with great remorse, having made the acquaintanceship of a pretty gal over in the corner and one over here and one over there. And so I thank you very much for the time and consideration extended to me.
Moyer, did you have a question after
that? Well, I'm not sure I can top that. And I realize, Mr. Anderson, at this point, you've only been able to read Mr. Boyko's Reader's Digest condensed version of BAPOC. But, seriously, though, we've had other people sit before this committee and give their views on BAPOC, that they think it should be more of a throw the sunshine on the candidates' records and let the press decide, let the public decide through the press, cast judgment or pass judgment on the individuals rather than take a more active role in determining the compliance with the laws and regulations of AIPOC. Maybe you could just give us a little general philosophy of your view of AIPOC, your impressions of how it's run so far, some of the cases it's handled. But I'd just like to hear a little bit more about it. I'm sorry I don't have anything more specific to ask you, but.
I was looking at some
regulations. Parnell, would you join us at the table, please?
There is some thought that, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I address the member here. There's some thought that I've received since I got here at Juneau, and I also got at Rotary Club the other day, that there's been a concentration of enforcement on individual contributors to candidates. And possibly casting a shadow on those contributors, casting a shadow on the individual willing to contribute to the candidate, and causing the candidate to turn to PAC. I don't know if that's true or not, because I haven't seen the enforcement record, or I haven't seen the statutory regulations that the investigators, I assume that AIPOC has investigative teams within the agency, and where generalized to the extent that that's all I know.
Well, I guess what I was asking is whether you think AIPOC should be an AAP, the Alaska Public Disclosures Commission, where they just make available to the public violations, or whether they should be the active enforcement agency that they, I think they have been by and large since their inception.
Well, I think that if you're going to have the quality of candidates and the quality of all you have to do is look at the other 48 states, most of them, that have not taken the forward step and adopted an AIPOC organization. Go down to Arizona, you know the situation of that legislature down there. And Alaska has really been a leader in the enforcement of campaign financing and in the enforcement of campaign contribution and law, and I think it's been most beneficial. We don't have any big track record since we got statehood of violations of major natures, and as we see some legislatures in other 48 states. I think we've got a damn good law that's been well enforced. And I think it's incumbent upon this committee to see that people that are appointed to that AIPOC commission have that same dedication, because one weak link in your the paint's going to start to fade.
Any other questions from the committee? Are there any other questions from representatives? Would you like to make any statement, Representative Cornyn?
No, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry I've come late here. I see somehow you've received some material that was part of something I submitted to the Anchorage Assembly during Mr. Anderson's hearing at that point. And I stand by what I've written.
Thank you, Representative Cornyn. Any other questions, Mr. Anderson? Thank you, Mr. Anderson, for joining us, sir. If you have a question, Representative Groomberg, raise your hand. Or ask, go for it.
Okay. This is apparently something that is of a fairly serious nature. I know nothing more than we've talked about in some informal conversations. I don't really don't know the depth of this. And if it bears on Mr. Anderson's qualifications to serve, maybe one side or the other would like to elucidate what's going on here. Difficult for me to make a decision and to just invite either of you to say anything.
Sure. There's
Representative Parnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's been indicated by Mr. Postman's article that somewhere along the line that I rarely play power broker, and Mr. Anderson knows that that's not my role. So that was not my role at the time of indicating to the Anchorage Assembly that that was what I was doing. I was reading Mr. Postman's article here, too. Has nothing to do with a personality difficulty. Mr. Anderson had indicated to me that he would have left this way behind him at the time. I was told at the time that I really didn't even need to submit the letter, that it would have taken care of itself, whatever that meant. My experience personally is the turmoil that is created in this role, boards and commissions, would be difficult for other public people, whether they're serving as volunteers or if they're serving as paid staff. It would be difficult for them to function in their role with his involvement. And I think that's about what I can offer, based on my own personal experience.
Would you like to comment, Mr. Anderson?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm pleased to have the opportunity to comment. I did not bring the Parnell information here. I had no intention whatsoever of introducing it until...
I just found it here.
Mr. Baker asked that I introduce it and bring it to the attention of the committee. Mr. Baker was chairman of the assembly at the time that the incident occurred. Mr. Parnell has never served on any committee with me of any nature whatsoever, Chamber of Commerce, United Good Neighbors, Alaska Methodist University, nothing. The only thing that he did is I appointed him to the Governor's Prayer Breakfast Commission shortly after Bill Sheffield asked me to organize the commission. He was on the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast Commission, and he took it upon himself to change everything from the governor's side to the mayor's side, including speakers and so on and so forth. I was using Kinko's to copy all of the material, and he got himself angered because I was not using Parnell Copy Services. And as far as I'm concerned, the charges that he made in his written memo, which was given to me shortly after he wrote it in the assembly, were not based on any knowledge of fact or any knowledge of association in committees. And I didn't get I got several hundred people in Anchorage who are wondering where he got it. And I don't mean to discredit a member of this legislative body. But I do feel that a personal attack upon an individual has to be supportable with fact. I don't intend to take him to court, and I don't intend to have any recourse or anything beyond this conversation here at this table. But I believe that the one thing that God told us, and he professes to be a Christian, if it don't stand by itself on the top of the table, don't speak it. Because if you lie, you have to remember what you said. And he'd never remember that memo had I not been gifted by one of the members of the assembly who said, "Here, Jack, this is the junk that he put out." So, end of statement. I don't want to discuss it any further. I'm not going to go to court. I'm not going to take it to the legislature. And I still seek the nomination to this committee. And I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to be heard. And again, I am not leaving here with any remorse, just disappointment that dirt shoveled up on top of the table without the intent of the committee of it being done so.
Are there any other questions of Mr. Anderson on the committee or members? You know, I don't want to get into any kind of name calling here, but if, you know, if we've got any facts to be brought out, let's bring out the facts. From there, let's go forward. Representative Bloomberg.
Yes, I'm not interested in innuendos. I'm not interested in name calling. I'm interested in facts. And I understand that there were some serious allegations here, so serious enough for the Municipal Assembly to turn down the nomination on a 10-to-1 vote. I can't believe that there are people on that particular bipartisan, nonpartisan assembly at the time, which I think included two members. You included both these representatives, whom I have the highest personal respect for, that they would have come to that conclusion lightly. And that was sufficiently serious allegations that this representative wanted them aired, because I'd like to know what the facts are and how that bears on the nominee's fitness for this particular post. And that's why I asked the question and asked Representative Parnell if he would come in the room and deal with this with us. It's my suggestion.
Well, I was told the day before yesterday, Sunday, that Mr. Parnell would be here at this hearing.
Well, I was not, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parnell?
Thank you. I was not told that. And the very first request I had was about 10 minutes ago by Representative Grunberg to come in and speak.
That's absolutely the fact. But yeah, this is a very important. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm just doing that, by the way, so we know on the tape who's speaking. Not that I have to call everybody, but Representative Grunberg.
This is an important commission, one of the most important. And I'm interested in knowing, just for my own vote, if nobody else's, and ask the majority leader of this body if there's any question about the fitness of any nominee. And I want it done on the record so that it's all out and people can get it on the record and we can make our decision properly and above board. And I would invite any additional testimony on the subject, because the statement that this was sour grapes because I didn't use your copying service, and that was the reason the entire assembly turned me down, I find that very curious, and that's somewhat contrary to the knowledge I have of those people in the assembly, and I would invite any qualification or clarification of that, because I find that a very curious reason to turn.
I'd like to publish Mr. Parnell's statement in both the Anchorage and the Fairbanks papers, and have anyone that believed it send it on into this committee. That's how I feel about it. I have concern in the world. I know exactly what's behind, and I can't agree, so I can't say it. I knew what his motives were. Assembly didn't. And
did you say that the reason that he suggested that you not be confirmed, and the reason they turned you down was because you didn't use his copying service?
He had much stronger motives than that, and I'm not about to discuss them here, unless we're under oath. I want to be under oath and sworn in that he bring that up. Well. End of conversation.
Anything else from committee members? Representative Baker.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to respond to Representative Grunberg, because having been a member of the body at the time, is that I don't recall the specific details, Representative Grunberg, that evolved certainly that evening. However, I know that members of the body, as you alluded to, often do look to other members, and as we do around this body, and so that I think that perhaps through the course of the conversation, there was some expression of concerns and with other members. You'll note that the same evening that this occurred, there were some other nominees that had come forward that had been turned down at the same time. And there was probably some concerns about the whole process at that time. I'll just share that with you, not particularly that members do listen to one another, as happens around here.
Other comments from the committee? I'm going to rule as Representative Choquette requested that I rule that if there is a legal question here, that legal question is probably between the people of Alaska and the governor's office via the courts or through the Alaska Independent Party and the courts, that we do not have that ability to rule whether this nomination has been made in a legal manner. And then I would also then determine that we have a nomination before us of Mr. Anderson, and that it will be the committee's decision on what recommendation to make on that. Does anyone else have any other input they'd like to make at this time? Representative Bruckley?
Question, though. If the courts did decide that the Alaska Independent Party had not, in fact, sent the nominations in and that they need to do that, what happens if Mr. Anderson has filled that seat?
I assume then the courts could rule that would be
open.
I'd maybe read a statement here that is interesting to me. It says, from our attorneys, to sum it up then, the governor's appointment of the APOC nominee was clearly in violation of AS 151302OB. That is, of course, if the information that our attorneys got was correct. Mm-hmm. However, it's not clear whether AS 151302OB is constitutional, and there can be strong arguments made both sides of the issue. So again, I believe this is, it's just something that I don't think our committee does have the ability to rule on. If there's no other questions for Mr. Anderson, I'm going to excuse him.
Thank you. And thank you here for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Other discussion on the issue?
Is there anything that you want to
The voting is up there. This is the voting that I had, and that was my experience. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm pretty frank about what I feel about and how I feel about this. I just personally don't believe that.
Need to speak up just a little bit.
I just personally believe that it would not be good in the service of the state for the people to have this man present in any public forum. It's nothing to do with whether I like him or don't like him or anything. It would be doing a disservice. I'm only one of 40.
Well, and that's certainly a valid recommendation, and certainly somebody knows somebody personally and wants to give their input into this hearing.
It is easier to indicate that I caused all this. I find it hard to believe that I can impact 9 other people. A single note. If that were the case, I'd just send you all notes about every 10 minutes. if I were able to accomplish that through that form, that'd be great. I have an idea that those lines were made up long before I sent the note, and it simply was another confirmation of how the body felt at the time. There was extensive feedback later from others who communicated with me and indicated that that was the proper thing to do. It isn't easy to stand up and indicate something like that without having people like Mr. Anderson feel, and rightfully so, you know, that that's incorrect or improper. You know, people indicate, well, you need to take a stand on things, and when I take a stand on something, it all breaks loose and everybody gets all upset about having taken a stand. So I respect Representative Greenberg's request, and I chose to come in and share with you in any way that you felt might be of value that you could come to a conclusion on this. And the key word is turmoil. I believe sincerely that this or any other group would be kept in constant turmoil.
Representative Bruckman?
Reading the stuff in here, you indicated that Mr. Anderson had been disruptive. Are there points and times that Representative Cornell could perhaps remember specifically to give some examples, or am I going off?
No, you're fine.
Because that's what, you know, it's subjective and difficult. But I would remind the chairman of his reading of the attorney's opinion, where he said this, the governor's appointment was clearly in violation of the law, and I respect the law until it's proven unconstitutional. I tend to feel that the problem lies there with the technicality more than who the real Mr. Anderson is.
Representative Greenberg?
With respect to the legal opinion, I'm not certain our lawyer had in front of him the letter from Mr. Boyko at the time. See, that was before. He did not have that letter in front of him when he wrote that opinion.
See, I would think that was...
No, not that letter, the other letter.
Right.
The letter from Mr. Boyko.
Right.
He did not have the Boyko letter in front of him when he wrote that opinion.
I would think that's what he made his determination, because it was from Boyko, not the central committee.
Facts.
Hickel had the Boyko letter in front of him when he made the nomination. The appointment, and I do not know that our lawyer was aware that the Boyko letter was in existence, and that I think materially changes that legal opinion. I think what we need to do, Mr. Chairman, is to send a copy of the Boyko letter to the lawyer
who wrote that letter,
to John Gagin, and ask John if that changes his legal opinion. I think you'll find it does. But with respect to the initial question.
Mm-hmm, right.
I think that, and I would like that your question answered, and more than that, Mr. Chairman, it may be that there are other witnesses we should call before this committee who have firsthand knowledge, and possibly some names could be given of people who would be able to provide that information, because I see two diametrically opposing things here. I think that whatever this committee does needs to be done on the record, in open hearing, with otherwise we just have no evidence to go on. And I'm wondering if, that's why I think it's a very serious thing, that if we need either additional facts and or some witnesses who can give first-hand testimony before this committee, either personally or by telephone.
Representative Moyer.
Yes, on that point, Mr. Chairman, in all fairness, in giving our draft of this letter, there have been allegations by Mr. Scanlon. This letter isn't what it seems to be. That it may say it was from the Central Committee, but there's allegations that that's not the case. So
maybe we're going to call Mr. Boyko, you're saying?
Whomever. I'm saying just giving this to Mr. Gagin
may
just produce another erroneous legal opinion.
My thought on that, and I said to the chairman, is that if we're getting something facially that is false, that is a matter, it sounds to me like, within the Alaska Independence Party, and that may have to be settled by some kind of a lawsuit or something. I think that we are going to get sidetracked into what went on within an internal political party, and that's, if we want to go down that road here, that sets a precedent in the future when we're going to have the Green Party or the Blue Party or whatever party we're dealing with at the time, and we're going to get into all sorts of inter-party squabbles, pardon me, that I don't know that we want to or have the time to do in a legislative committee. That's just my thought. If they're going to do that, their remedy is some kind of an injunctive action or something like that. Otherwise, we're going to have a parade of witnesses here dealing with whether this was done properly or not. I'm not sure that that's this.
It may be, Mr. Chairman, a long road or a short road. I don't know. I mean, the conventions I've been to, like our central committee meetings, we take minutes. We have ways we can prove it actually happened. And if they're there, they're there. And if they're not, that's along the road of proving why they're not.
So, yeah, we could certainly ask them to produce the records.
Representative Breckman.
Okay. To get more information on Mr. Anderson on specific instances or times and places when he was disruptive, would that be possible within the period of time that we have to comply with the confirmation process?
Well, I'm to be honest with you, I'm not real comfortable with it. This nomination has been before us. I've put it out to people, announced it on the floor. Mm-hmm. People have gone and dug and found what they may, but...
Mr. Chairman,
we have been asked to have our recommendations to the Speaker's office by tomorrow. We have a lot of bills in front of us. I believe that if there's problems still out there, that people can vote no recommendation on the thing, or if they feel already that this person don't think would be good on there for whatever reason they want, they can vote do not recommend. And when the debate comes on the floor, move forward with that.
Thank you. Perhaps if I asked Representative Carmel and Representative Baker if they could remember something more specific.
Representative Parnell?
Let me address that and back into it by Mr. Anderson's description of my just being on this little committee, so to speak. And then he gave you a number of others in which he had been involved. My level in contact with him would have been then as he's described in this sort of insignificant kind of committee activity. And so my experience would be just the tip of the iceberg of what's really out there. And in that, one example would be someone were designated by a chairman of a committee to be the representative to the governor, or to be the representative to the military, then he would take it upon himself to be that representative, and the other person would have gotten in contact, say, with the governor or with the military, and would have found out that this person would have already been there and expressed that on behalf of the committee, or maybe not quite expressed what the committee had asked be done. So if this chairman asked you to carry the ball in the subcommittee on something, to give you a parallel, and a couple of days later you would start in on it, and then you would find out that that had been tackled in a different way by somebody else, and it was all done, and gave it back to the chairman. You'd be quite surprised and baffled. And that's the, I think that's the difficulty in, as I've described here, being respectful of the process and the people in the process, and the difficulty with having to deal with the pecking order.
Can you say then that other people representing the difficulty to you have described, no. Mr. Anderson, in the words that you've used?
Far more intensely. Far more intensely.
Could I ask you how? If not, how many? Were there many? Or?
Over 18 years, under different circumstances, 30, 40, 50, over 48 hours after this vote, approximately 20, 25, with the very first one being very grateful that that particular vote was taken. And shocked that the name had even been presented. I originally asked Mayor Pink to withdraw the name. He said that he couldn't do that, but he had to get help on his campaign, and he had to find something for him.
Were these people from a wide range of philosophies, interests?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And in varying capacities of leadership in the community, followership in the community.
Well, the only thing that I would add to that is that I'd just kind of like to review for Representative Bruckman that same evening that four appointees were rejected by the body. Different people had different reasons as to why those people were turned down, and certainly the body looked to the people that had individual knowledge, and not all people of the body had personal knowledge, as we do on this committee, as to people that come in front of us. So So, you know, I think that that particular evening, there was a number of appointments that were made by the mayor that that people had individual feelings about, and as a consequence of that, a number of people were rejected, and the body as a body whole made that rejection based upon individual knowledge that the specific members may have had, and so that maybe presents it in the perspective of what happened that particular evening.
Sam Grunbeck.
Would, and I'd address this to either of you, but let me just ask you, Representative Baker, did individuals come to you with the same kinds of statements about Mr. Anderson and the way he conducted himself? Do you recall?
I don't recall what the extent of the testimony was that particular evening. It seems to me that it was possibly late in the evening by the time that we actually got around to that on the agenda, but I think there was a lot of dynamics that were taking place that evening based upon the series of appointments, and a lot of them had individuals that on the body that felt very strongly about some of the appointments that had been made.
Okay. If I may ask, Mr. Representative Parnell, would you feel comfortable and be able to make any contact, say, and I don't know whether we would have time, say within the next 24 hours, even if we had to come back late in the afternoon or something on this matter, to see if there were any other people who would be willing to testify as to firsthand knowledge that we could take them by teleconference or, you know, just put them on a speakerphone here. Get some additional testimony. I'm trying to find out as much as I can about that.
Well, I appreciate that. If I hadn't have cleaned my files out when I came, I could have just handed the chairman my file of material that came to me before and after. And that's all history. It's gone, done, and behind me. And I really don't have, you know, names, addresses, and phone numbers. And I think the best I have to offer is just to let you know my own personal experience.
I'm not saying that's not sufficient. Yeah. I'm just trying to get the committee the best evidence available. I take it you don't remember any other individuals at this point in time. Okay. Sure. I would have no problem in asking the chair to hold the report over for a day or two. If I thought that would elicit additional evidence on one side or the other, that's your choice.
Very nicely done.
Are there any other comments from the committee?
Oh, good luck.
My intention is to hold this recommendation on the table until Friday's meeting. What's today? Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
To be brought up either tomorrow or Friday's meeting. Any objections to that? The committee report was a whole at this time. There is a change in time for our meeting tomorrow. It's at 8 o'clock because we have caucus at 8:30 at 9. And I'd ask that all committee members please be here so that we can move on. Representative,
I believe that there is an Anchorage, another caucus meeting, an Anchorage Democratic caucus. Can you phone my office and see what's on my calendar?
It went.
Yeah. Could we just?
Can you make it a date?
Yes, sir.
Can you make it a date, Betty? Can you make it a date tomorrow?
Are you aware? Do we have a caucus?
I don't know. I have the attorney state affairs that comes to the wire. Yeah, I can make it unless we have a standard.
No, I'm not saying no. I may be the only one.
Yeah. In the next minute, could I have a quiet, please? We're on tape here. You're interrupting. Next House State Affairs meeting will be Wednesday.
It's okay.
Okay. The next meeting, House State Affairs Committee, will be Wednesday, May 8th at 8 a.m. in the morning. At that time, we'll be hearing House Bill 288, relating to giving of cash to public officers, House Bill 245 relating to state procurement, House Bill 300 relating to appropriation study, privatizing state services.
Is that my bill?
No.
Judicial?
Showcast.
Showcast.
We're adjourned.